Welcome to Risky Business News, a podcast on the recent news from the cybersecurity industry. This is Catherine Campano. Today is October 12th, and this podcast episode is brought to you by Finxt, the makers of the much-loved Finxt Canary. In today's main story, the White House is working on a cybersecurity-themed label that would be applied to smart devices and help inform Americans which devices meet the highest cybersecurity standards. The Biden administration said it plans to meet with vendors, industry groups, and government agencies later this month to discuss how this new labeling scheme should be done. According to CyberScoop, Deputy National Security Advisor for Cyber and Emerging Technology Anne Neuberger is spearheading the IoT Cybersecurity Labeling Program, which is expected to launch next spring in 2023. The White House said the new cybersecurity labels will first ship for routers and home cameras, considered to be some of today's most common and often the most at-risk technologies. Other device types will most likely be included in the program, which is the same approach that the German government took with its own IoT cybersecurity labeling scheme, which it initially launched last year with routers in email services and then expanded to other devices this year. Other cybersecurity labeling schemes for smart devices also exist in Germany, Singapore, Finland, and the UK, and the EU is also working on its own scheme as well. Moving on to news on hacks and breaches, yesterday was a record-breaking day in the cryptocurrency space, but for all the wrong reasons, as Tuesday was the first day where four different cryptocurrency platforms got hacked on the same day. RabbitSwap lost $200,000 worth of cryptocurrency, Paraswap is still investigating its own incident, Stack Finance lost $2.3 million, and Mango Markets lost a whopping $115 million, although the hacker appears to be willing to return some of the funds if the company doesn't involve law enforcement. Also in hacking news, Brazilian TV station Record TV was hit by the Black Cat ransomware gang over the weekend. According to local news outlet Techmundo, the attack encrypted the TV station's file storage servers, preventing employees from accessing recorded materials. Following the attack, Record TV changed its regular programming to air sitcoms for half a day until engineers regained control over their network. Some employees were also sent home on Sunday, but programming has since returned to its normal schedule. In addition, Toyota also disclosed a security breach, admitting that it left one of the access keys for the T-Connect service in one of its GitHub repositories for more than 5 years, between December 2017 and September 15, 2022. The company is unsure if someone used the key to steal customer data, but is now notifying more than 296,000 users who use the T-Connect mobile app to connect their car to their smartphone that their data might have been exposed and stolen. Also over the weekend, Kaseya forced the customers of its IT Glue service to reset their account passwords and add a multi-factor authentication solution to their accounts. Kaseya denied rumors that appeared on Reddit that it might have been hacked again and said in a press release that the password reset was just a precaution after its IT Glue service dealt with a, quote, concerted credential stuffing campaign, end quote. In tech news, Microsoft shipped a new security feature to all Windows OS versions yesterday as part of its monthly Patch Tuesday security updates. The new feature works by locking and freezing all local admin accounts for 10 minutes after 10 failed login attempts. The feature is meant to be Microsoft's best protection against brute force attacks, including those carried out via RDP. RDP brute force attacks have been one of the most common initial entry vectors for many cybercrime and cyber espionage operations over the past years. A similar feature to block SMB-based brute force attacks is also in the works. Moving on to government and policy-related news, the US Treasury's Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, more commonly known as FinCEN, fined cryptocurrency platform Bittrex with $29.2 million for failing to detect and block payments to sanctioned entities and also failing to detect payments related to criminal activity such as payments to dark web markets and ransomware groups. FinCEN said that Bittrex made over 116,000 transactions over the past few years, valued at over $260 million, to either sanctioned entities or to addresses connected to criminal activity. FinCEN said Bittrex failed to implement effective transaction monitoring on its trading platform, relying only on two employees that received minimal anti-money laundering training and had to manually review up to 20,000 suspicious transactions each day. Meanwhile, in Europe, the German government is investigating and might fire Arne Schönborn, the head of the Federal Cybersecurity Authority, also known as the BSI, for undisclosed connections to Russian intelligence agencies. Schönbaum's ties to Kremlin came to light over the weekend following an investigation by German news agency SDF, which found that the BSI chief founded an industry group called Cybersecurity Council of Germany back in 2012. SDF found that one of the group's members was security firm Protelion, which offered security services to German companies and various political groups, and which was a mere front company for Russian IT firm Infotex, founded and managed by a former Soviet-era KGB officer. In other EU news, in Belgium, Eva de Blecker, the state secretary for the country's consumer protection agency, has been silently pushing local banks to provide 24/7 customer support to victims of phishing attacks so they can report and lock accounts before money can be stolen. De Blecker said that most banks have complied with her request, but her unofficial efforts have also run into some what she called stubborn banks. In some sad news from Ukraine, Yuri Zaskoka, the chief of Ukraine's cyber police department, was killed on Monday following a Russian missile strike aimed at civilian infrastructure in the Kyiv city center. He was 41 years old and was one of the six people killed in the strike. In cybercrime and threat intelligence news, Google Cloud published its quarterly threat report this week, and the company said that around 2/3 of the security incidents that impacted its customers in the second quarter of 2022 were infections with crypto mining malware. Google said that in most cases, the attackers gain access to customer infrastructure by using weak passwords for services like RDP, WordPress, and Secure Shell. In cyber espionage news, Slovak security firm ESET published a report on the Polonium APT, a group that Microsoft said was operating out of Lebanon and coordinating with Iran's Ministry of Intelligence and Security. Robert Lipovsky, principal threat intelligence researcher at ESET, is here to tell us more about this group and their recent activity targeting Israel.
Polonium is an APT group that has been focusing on espionage, and we've been tracking them since September 2021. They're using their own custom backdoors and auxiliary tools for spying on their targets. And what I consider to be particularly interesting is that over those 12 months, we've seen them using 7 different backdoor families. And when I say families, I mean that each of those had their own subvariants. And that's a lot of different malware being deployed in a relatively short time frame, which indicates just how active Polonium is. In terms of targeting, Polonium focuses on targeting Israeli organizations in various verticals. And while we're not entirely sure what their primary means of initial access is, they have likely been abusing the Fortinet VPN accounts that leaked back in September 2021.
In vulnerability news, Fortinet formally confirmed that the authentication bypass vulnerability it fixed last week was also exploited in attacks in the wild. The company sent a private notification to all customers last week asking them to install the most recent security patch, but did not say anything about the vulnerability being exploited in the wild. As some security experts argued online, revealing this small detail would have most likely led to a more rapid patching effort from some of the company's customers, who weren't too keen on starting a patch deployment on a late Friday afternoon just to fix one single bug in their firewalls and proxies. In addition, in a report published earlier this week, South Korean security firm Unlab said that it suspects that a web shell it found in a recent LogBit ransomware attack might have been installed using a new and undisclosed zero-day vulnerability in the Microsoft Exchange email server. At the time of this podcast, Microsoft nor any other security firm or researcher have yet to confirm Unlab's findings. And since we're talking about Microsoft, yesterday was October's Patch Tuesday, and most of the major tech vendors have made security updates available to their customers, including the likes of Adobe, Apple, Microsoft, SAP, and Google. Microsoft didn't ship fixes for two Exchange 0 days disclosed last week, but the company delivered a fix for another actively exploited 0 day in the Microsoft Windows COM service. In addition, Microsoft also rolled out a patch for a vulnerability found and reported by the US NSA and the UK NCSC intelligence agencies. Tracked as CVE-2022-34689, this is a critical rated vulnerability in the Windows Crypto API that Microsoft says can allow attackers to manipulate X509 certificates to spoof their identity and perform actions such as authentication or code signing as the targeted certificate. This is it for today's news. Today's show was sponsored by Pfingst. You can find links to all the reports mentioned in this show in our newsletter at riskybiznews.substack.com or on our website at risky.biz.